Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But I am happy to be a Christian.
Amen.
I'm thrilled, like I said. But the last few months, God has really done something very special in my heart. And I don't know if I can explain it. I don't know if I can necessarily try to even come close. I don't understand really the things of God. I see through a glass darkly, I suppose. But every time I turn around, there's something sweet that He's doing in my heart. For a long time now, I know that in my ministry, I've stepped into the pulpit, and what I feel impelled to say is that we should be humble before God. I minister, as many of you know, in Haitian churches. I've been to Haiti 5 times, but there are local churches here in Louisiana, mostly in New Orleans. And every time I show up, the pastors are very kind, and I very much I'm grateful for that. But they'll see me come to the door and without fail, they'll say, "Brother Kelly, come on up and greet the people." And I never prepare. I never get a sermon because I'm only going to be here 3 minutes. But as I'm sitting there, or maybe as I'm walking up, I'm overwhelmed with the understanding that I should say that we ought to be humble.
Amen.
Not proud, but humble before God and trusting Him.
That's right.
We do not deserve, as David said, we're unworthy of the least of God's mercies.
Yes, we are. You're right.
But every time I turn around these last few months, it seems that God is doing something special and encouraging me. And oh, I need encouragement.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And if you're listening by radio, maybe as time goes on, I'll try to share some insights. But I sense the goodness of God. I sense His patience. I sense His love and His care. I began to preach on the radio in New Orleans. I was on twice, once before, about 10 years ago. But this time, when I started again, I thought I was going to start out preaching against false doctrine and false prophecy. So I went to 1 Corinthians. I went through the chapter about the gifts, 12, 13, and 14. And I thought I knew what I was going to say, but what I saw instead was God's care for His church.
Yes.
I've never really heard it preached that way, but I saw that He takes His time to lovingly care.
Yes, He does.
For His church.
Amen.
As I progressed, as time passed, I began to preach on other things. I thought that I might preach in the book of Exodus. Felt led to do it by the Lord, I believe. And generally you hear, perhaps those that don't know God or those that hate God, say that in the Old Testament, God is mean and evil and cruel. And they have, I guess, some small thing that they could say. But God knows what He is doing. But as I studied the book of Exodus, I saw God's care and concern and patience and compassion and long-suffering for His, at that time, church, Israel. When God was on the mountain and fire and all of these things, when Moses went up to receive the law and some other times, it was really God revealing His love and His care.
Yes, He was.
And I want to remember that, and you'll remember that when you hear, but as I preach out of the book of Revelation, when Jesus addresses the seven churches, he shows his love.
Amen. Yes, he does.
And I'm, again, happy to be used of him. I think I understand the Word of God. When I began 4 years ago on the radio, I thought I knew what I was going to say. But again, I'm so glad that he takes his time to teach me. Mm-hmm. So I don't stand before you as one that knows everything. But I hope that I can study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed.
Amen.
Now, before I preach, I want to testify just a little bit. Today, I received news of two people, one of whom I knew about beforehand, the other one just someone in the church that I happened to attend in New Orleans. My friend, he told me that they had found some cancer. And they said, well, we have to operate, but, you know, your heart is so bad, if we operate, you got a 2/3 chance of making it, but the other third, well, you won't survive. And they were afraid to do the surgery because they don't want to kill him. And he called me or wrote me or something and said, you know, I really want God to heal me. I want a touch from God. Pastor knows about this. I asked him and the brethren to pray. Mm-hmm. And this morning, he emailed me and said that he had had a bunch of tests all this past week. And they found that the cancer had not spread at all.
Wow. Thank you.
Not into any other tissue, etc. Which is very good, because
Amen.
They said, you know, where it is, we don't have to operate it this time. Don't worry about it. And I don't know what to say, but he wrote me and said that he was very thankful for prayer. He was very
Amen.
Thankful that they
Thank
had
you, Lord.
Given him this report.
God.
And it brought him closer to God. And I'm thankful for that. This morning, I don't know. I don't really know all that many people in the church I attend. And certainly I had never spoken with the woman in question. But she stood up to testify and said that the doctor had found cancer in her breast. And apparently it was where she could detect, she could feel a lump or something. But they went to some prayer meeting at the church or something, and she was prayed for. And she felt at that time that God did something in me. God did something. I feel it. I sense that virtue somehow has touched me. And she went home, and what do you know? The lump's not there.
Thank you, Jesus.
She's going to go to the doctor
Praise
tomorrow,
the
next day, or whatever, and to tell him, hey, y'all need a test again, because I'm not taking that surgery, because I believe God has healed me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so thankful that
Thank
God
you,
has mercy.
Yes, he does.
And again, the care and loving kindness of God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
I hesitate to say the next thing, but I'll go ahead and do it. I don't like to tell the problems that I have personally. But occasionally, I have a little trouble. I get a little exhausted, and it's a strain upon my heart. I told Pastor about this. I asked him and the brethren again to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the Lord, as he has done 2 or 3 times before, strengthened me.
Amen.
And I'm very grateful, very, very grateful that Thank he cares
you.
For me.
Yes, Lord.
But if you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Revelation. And if you've listened on the radio, you know that I've preached about a year now from the book of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my desire after I finish it, I'm in the last, it's my desire after I finish, I'm in the last chapter or two, that I give some small introduction to the book of Revelation. And I'm doing about half of that tonight. All of the book is wonderful. I wish that I could take any part of it and preach. But I just have just a small bit that I want to talk to you about tonight. And if you're listening by radio, I don't want to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I just want to give an overview. But Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him.
Yes.
Even so, amen. Heavenly Father, once again, I step behind your sacred desk, and I'm like Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone. I don't belong here. But you picked me up out of the miry clay. You set my feet in a rock and established my goings. You're the one that turned me around. And I can't imagine why, but you called me to preach. And you've helped me. You've taught me. You've enabled me. And I'm so grateful to say that you've put your spirit upon me. And David, we can read that he was very cautious that the Spirit of God would not be taken from him through his sin. Lord, help me. And next time I stand before the desk, help me again. And that also that you would speak to the people. For I do believe you have a word from heaven that you've given us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That is the central message of the book of Revelation, that Jesus Christ is coming back.
Yes, he is.
Jesus Christ is coming back, and I'm glad to be able to preach that message. In Acts chapter 1, it says that Jesus went to heaven in clouds. And it says, just as the two angels said, he's coming back with clouds.
Yes, he is.
I saw these clouds in the book of Exodus. We see them at other times, perhaps on the Mount of Transfiguration. We saw the cloud by day, the fire by night. The clouds speak of heaven. Jesus came from heaven. He did the works of his Father in heaven. He went back to heaven. And one day he's going to split the eastern sky and come back from heaven.
Yes, amen. Amen.
And every eye shall see him. Some preachers have said, yeah, CNN, everybody's going to see. Maybe so. I'm sure they're going to cover it. They're not going to have a choice. But I believe that the people in Africa, that the people perhaps in Montagnac and La Gombrie in Haiti that have no electricity, never saw a TV, unless they went to town, have no running water. I believe that they will look up and say, he's here.
Yes,
I believe it.
Said every eye.
But it says, and they also which pierced him. And that's talking of the Jews. They asked the Romans to put him to death. I understand it was Roman soldiers, but it was the Jews that insisted that happen.
That's right.
To me, this immediately reminds me of the last few chapters of the book of Zechariah. In those chapters it says that Jesus returns, not necessarily for the Christian, but for the Jew. He comes back and they say, what are these wounds in your hands? And etc. I won't preach that sermon, but he says that, yes, everybody's going to see him, but also he's coming back for the Jews. And as I've preached many times, the Jews are the apple of God's eye. Salvation is to the Jew first and then the Gentile.
Yes, amen.
God has not forgotten the Jews. Paul said God's able to graft them back in. God cares for the Jews. I don't know what your politics are. I don't know anything about that. But you should speak kindly and think kindly of the Jews because God does.
Amen.
And God is watching you.
Amen.
But it says, in all the kindreds of the earth, every people, every clan, everybody, all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. I'm a Christian. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. Very happy to be waiting and watching. But most, what, 90%, 60%, some great number of people have no interest in following God. I don't know what the figures are. I don't know. But most people around the world do not want God. They don't want to live by Him.
That's right.
They would prefer to be in darkness and do whatever sin. They are not looking for the coming of Christ. But it says that when He comes, everyone will wail. Some, it says, they would be crying to the rocks to please fall on us and hide us from His face as He comes.
Oh.
How many enterprises take selling drugs? Well, when Christ comes, that's all going to be gone. Take crooked politicians. Well, they're going to be out of office when Jesus comes. Take the one that wants to gossip over the fence.
Yes.
Sorry. That's not going to happen anymore when Jesus comes.
Oh, yeah, brother.
But people love their sin, and they're going to wail and say, no, 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 please, I don't want to give up. But it's going to be too late. He's going to come.
Oh.
That's the central message of the book of Revelation. The outline of this book, I won't read it just yet, but the outline of this book is found in verse 19 of this first chapter. Verse 12 through 20, we see a vision of Christ. We see, as John saw, and he's relating, and he says that in verse 12, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about with paps, with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his feet were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they had burned in a furnace. In his voice as the sound of many waters." And it goes on a little bit. But John sees the Lord. John sees Jesus Christ, not the carpenter that walked around the Sea of Galilee, but the one that is risen and went to heaven and was glorified, and the one that comes back and his face makes the majority of people wail when he returns. This is God. Jesus is God. I don't care what your religion or what your pastor taught you if you go to some other church, but Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
He is God come in the flesh. But in this chapter, chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. I'd like to read. John says that, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia." That's the title of this message, "The Seven Churches Which Are in Asia." "Unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea." And in verse 12, "And I turned to see the voice," etc. What I want to talk to you about today is chapter 2 and 3, the seven churches which are in Asia. But quickly, verse 19. I said that this verse is the outline of the entire book of Revelation. "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Write the things which thou hast seen. John saw the Lord and wrote about Him. and the things which are. And that has to do with the churches, the seven churches that in chapter 2 Jesus gives a message to. And the things which shall be hereafter. Chapter 4 to the end talks of the future time, talks of the last things. It talks of the great tribulation, a horrible time. But in chapter 19, Christ comes back. Oh my Lord, what a time, as the song says. I'm looking for his return. I can't wait for that day. I'm so happy that he's going to come back for me. And y'all too. There are seven churches named. You can read them in order. I won't talk about them in order. But essentially, Jesus addresses the angel of the church of one of these cities. Then he begins to give a specific identification of himself to each church. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. When John heard that voice and turned around and saw who it was, he saw Christ surrounded by these seven golden candlesticks and these seven stars. If you go to verse 8, And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Again, he identifies himself, gives a specific personal identification to each one of these seven churches. He references the vision five times. Two other times, he says something else. To Philadelphia, Christ identifies himself as being holy and true and having the key of David, which is the key of salvation, and opening and shutting. To Laodicea, Jesus calls himself the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the beginning of creation. Remember, I said that Jesus is God. If you look in John chapter 1, you see Jesus pictured as God and being in the beginning. And he was the word that God spoke when God said, Let there be light. The point is, these seven churches, Jesus speaks to them. He knows what's going on, and he wants to tell them something. And again, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he talks about himself and says personally, Look, the vision would have you... You remember the vision? Well, this is what I have. The stars in my hand are etc. Then he says, I know thy works. And he begins to list the things that each church had done or not done. Then he had specific comments because these different churches were different. They had done this or they had done that. And he says, I know thy works. And then he has a specific commentary on what they had done or failed to do. Then to finish it out, it says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he that overcometh, then there's a special promise. Some of these promises are wonderful. Let me find one that sticks out. Let's look at verse 17, when he addresses Pergamos. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. He's talking about in heaven, what will happen in heaven if we overcome in this life. If we walk and not faint, if we stand true and faithful to the Lord, if we overcome, we get the benefits that he has in heaven. We get to be with him, etc. Some of these comments at the end, to him that overcometh, there's a special personalized promise. And it would do us well, I believe, to look at each one of these churches to see what God said. Let's say that's the general outline of each message to each church. But I'd like to take a look at each church, not necessarily in the order that we find them in the Bible. But I want to take a look at each church to see what they had done or failed to do, what the Lord Jesus thought about them, what promises, what exhortations, etc., that he gave to them. Some did well, some didn't do well. Let's start with the famous one, Laodicea. Let's get that out of the way.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.